Good. Well, it's almost afternoon. It's still said morning. Good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Just give me a bit more to get situated here. There are two things that I have been reminded of as I continue to go up here. One, this does not get any easier. So that's my first gripe. My second one is also, if you're nervous and you're sweating, don't use facial tissue because it gets all over your face and jacket, and as I've noticed now. So yeah, those are just some things that I would keep in mind for next time. Okay, so first things first is, hello everyone. How's everyone doing today? I know everyone is happy to be here, and I know that we have a full church, and it'd be great if we can get some more parking or maybe a bigger church at one point, but I know those are some long-term goals that we are shooting for. Now, at this point, I see a lot of faces that I am not particularly familiar with. So what I'm going to give you guys, I'm going to give you approximately 2 to 3 minutes. I want you to, don't you have to stand up, just go within your seats to the person to the left, right, behind, front, diagonal to the left, whatever. And ask for their name if you don't know them, or just greet everyone who's around you. So I'll give you that moment right about now. Okay, looks like we're coming down now. Does everyone feel welcome this morning? Well, almost afternoon. Okay, so as per tradition of the pastoral team, is there any Wayne SDA church members that want to introduce the new people that we've seen today? Okay, we have Edwin first. Nice to meet you, brother. Anyone else? Lorelei. Welcome to the Wayne SDA Church. Jimmy?
Yes, this is Rachel Santos and her daughter, and little Lily, former members of the Wayne Church. And I know Orlando's around here somewhere.
Welcome back. It's always good to see familiar faces once again. Anyone else? Yes, Josie. Welcome from the Patterson Church. Welcome. Okay, Judy. No? Okay. Okay. Joe. Yes. So, for those who don't know, instead I'm going to make you feel awkward, Matt's my roommate. So, feel free to wave to at least every visitor who's around here. Jeanette. Welcome. Sam. Welcome. Everyone wave. Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone else? Okay. As I've said in previous times where I was the elder of the month, if you are a Wayne SDA member, you're part of our big family, or part of our immediate family. And any of the visitors here, if it's your first time here, you're a visitor for the first time here. After that, you're part of our extended family, and hope we're going to eventually adopt you one day. My sermon is entitled, Let Me Pick You Up. And some people already know my story, but I'm going to reiterate it later on today. So, before I continue with my sermon, I'd like to have a quick word of prayer, so if you would bow your heads with me. Dear gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the opportunity you've given me to speak here once again at the Wayne Seventh-day Adventist Church, Lord. It's truly a blessing to be here, Lord. There have been so many different things that have gone in our weeks. Throughout this week, we've encountered stress or different situations we're not uncomfortable with, but we know that when we continue to come to you, you are always willing to listen to each and every one of our pleas, and you're going to answer our prayers as you see fit. Thank you once again for this day of rest where we don't have to think about work or have to think about our schoolwork or have to think about any of the troubles that we have in our lives. We just need to think about you, and it's such a blessing to have that opportunity. Now, Lord, give me the strength and give me the power to be able to speak this message, Lord. You know this message is not my words, but they're yours alone. And continue to empower me and continue to bless the minds and the ears of each member here at the Wayne SDA Church. Continue to bless everyone who's here and those who were not able to make it for today. Continue to bless our members who are unable to make it due to illnesses or just unable to make it due to other circumstances. Continue to bless this church and continue to bless every single one here. In your wonderful name that we pray, amen. Okay, so it's recap time. I always seem to do recap time in the front. Who remembers what my message from last year was, or specifically the one in November? Or was it November? Or was it October? October, November, last fall. Anyone remember? It's about teaching. Anyone remember the title? Learning to teach, teaching to learn. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Okay, so the last message I spoke was teaching to learn, and the idea was many of us have problems, issues learning different things, and I said that the best way, at least in my opinion, to learn something is to teach it, because sometimes you think that when you're teaching something, the students are getting the better portion of the learning, but usually you're just solidifying it in your head, and it helps you memorize things a lot better. And when you're trying to remember scripture in the Bible, I personally believe that one of the best ways to do it is to teach others. Now, the sermon that this ties to was the one I did before that. And who remembers which one that one was? From last August. This one's the one related to calculus. That sermon title was entitled Anxious Minds. And that was the idea when I was working at NGIT at the advising office. There was a giant line, and it was potentially a fire hazard to everyone who's crossing down that hallway because everyone was worried about what classes to take. We can't get all our classes. There weren't enough professors. There's no seats. We travel all the way to the U.S., and we can't learn anything because, fortunately, there aren't enough professors and there are not enough seats, or because NGIT is a particularly small school, there's not enough rooms. So that anxiety, and how can you help empower people and let them see through you that there is nothing to worry about in this world? So that was that idea, and we're going to revisit that concept, because it's one thing when you're doing fine and then you're telling someone else it's going to be fine, when in their heads, like, it's not going to be fine. So let's go back to that term, anxiety. What is the thing I like to do in every sermon when we pick up terms like this? Define them. And where is the best place to define words? Google and the dictionary. So let's go back to those definitions that we brought back from last August. Anxiety, one definition, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. So let's say that was kind of me as I was trying to come up here and then telling you the story about how not to use facial tissue on your face before it gets everywhere. Another term that we have, which is a more in-depth term, an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological signs such as sweating, tension, and increased pulse, by doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. Man, the internet has some complicated things. So, we talked about anxiety last time. What are we talking about this time? We're talking about stress. What is stress? Who can define stress without Googling it?
My wife.
That's one way to define it. Anyone else want to take a crack at it? Okay, work is stressful, can be. Okay, I guess if no one's going to have a good term, then we're going to have to just use the Google term. All right, Google, a state of mental, emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. Okay, that's the quick Google one. What's the other one, definition? A specific response by the body to a stimulus as fear or pain that disturbs or interferes with the normal physiological equilibrium of an organism. Each of us are organisms, for those who don't know that. So stress is a response in ourselves responding to something else that we're unsure of, usually fear, pain, or any imminent danger that's around us. So how many of us have encountered stress at least one point in their lives? I know that there are some people who are just not being honest, because let's be honest, who doesn't get stressed? Am I right? Everyone has an encounter with stress at one point or another, even the small things that we think about, like, oh my goodness, I didn't eat breakfast and I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. Like, I personally need to eat breakfast before the sermon. How am I going to get through it? Should I go really fast? Should I go really slow? What do I do about that? Let's talk about a story in the Bible. I wanted you to turn to your Bibles in 1 Kings chapter 18. Who do you think we're talking about this time? 1 Kings chapter 18. You can just shout it out. Elijah. So let's talk about the good things in Elijah's life. What I'm going to try to illustrate is that not everyone is immune to the different struggles we go through, or the stress, or just the fear and the anxiety of things that happen. So we're going to read the story of Elijah, or at least a quick rundown of it. We're going to start with chapter 20. I'd like to have someone read from verses 20 to 22, and then from 23 to 24. So first person, Elijah. So 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 20 to 22. I'd like to read someone read it. Let me just read one more verse.
Then Elijah said to the people, I am alone and left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men.
Okay, so it says he is encountering the prophets of Baal. There is only one of him, and how many of them are there? 450 men. It's kind of like how when you're doing a presentation, not like this because I think we're all family, but if you're doing a presentation in your work or at school or something, and you're that one person that the spotlight is on, and there are just some people who are ready to rip you apart because you've messed up at something, and you're that nervous person. But that doesn't look like the story here with Elijah. I have someone to continue with verses 23 and 24. Okay, so let's put things into perspective. Once again, he's one prophet versus 450 on Team Red. So, what happens in this story? Okay, God answers Elijah. How about the other side? Nothing. Verses 30 and 39 read, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water, and was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God.'" Okay, so now you're the one who overcomes that stressful situation. You know, one of the number one fears in the world is public speaking, right? So keeping that in mind, he's one, well, it's not really a public speaking event here, but you can kind of make that analogy. He's one versus the other people, and he is the one who's victorious. that you better be feeling good at this point. Because when you just do something and you just feel well achieved and you have completed your task or your mission or your goals right then and there, you're usually in a state of a high at that point. Like, I reached the highest point right now and nothing can take me down. Yet we can go to the next chapter. What happens in the next chapter? Chapter 19. Okay, yes. He tries to hide from Jezebel. Reads from verses 1 through 3 on chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah has done, and he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sends a message to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And he saw that, he rose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. So, essentially, he runs away. Like I said, there's sometimes in your periods where you usually do something really well, and then you usually stay in that state. But that's not what happened to Elijah. Know that each and every one of us will encounter a time where we feel that we are in a good position, and then all of a sudden things, one thing can bring us, let us go downhill. It continues. I'm just jumping up to verse 10. This is where Elijah goes into hiding, and then God reaches out to him, provides him food. Because we know that Elijah said, "I want to just die, Lord." It says in verse 10, "So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Okay, so he's worried here, despite what he just did in the previous chapter, which is not too long ago. Sometimes situations get the better of us. And I've said this before in my previous sermons, that sometimes stress, anxiety, different situations, fear, get the better of us. And sometimes it's not just mentally. Sometimes things happen physically that you can tell that something's not right. Anxiety, fear, and stress, it affects everyone. And there are a lot of signs of stress out there. So I'm going to show you a list of common signs of stress. And there are so many on this list that it barely fits on the PowerPoint slide. How many of you have encountered at least one of these symptoms? Am I right? Sweating. Just feelings of rapid or mumbled speech. Cold or sweaty hands or feet. All these different situations we may encounter. If you encounter several of these symptoms, chances are you need to calm down just a little bit. But what are you stressed about? You know that sometimes there's symptoms. Sometimes your mind's like, "I don't know what to do. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to just continue to live life and hope for the best, or should I do something about it?" What are you stressed about? What are some of the things that you guys are stressed about? Work. That's one of the most common ones. What else? Let's go with this. What do you guys think is one of the most common reasons or one of the top reasons for church in financial? So money is one of the biggest reasons for stress in America. It has been on several of those top stressful lists. Pretty sure it continues to be up there. Relationships. Top cause of stress. I'll just have them here on the PowerPoint slide. Money or financial struggles. They're not in any particular order except for that one. So money. Whether I'm going to be able to keep my job, whether something happens, the economy is unstable, I don't know if they're just going to lay me off the next day, or I have several kids in college and I'm only working alone, I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay for this, or I have all these bills and they're going to take away my house or my car or something. That is a stressful moment because you don't know what's going to happen the next day. Not having a car is kind of important. Not having a house is really important. And not having a lot of different things, being able to provide for your family, provide for everyone around you, be able to sustain yourself. Money is really important. Work. Sometimes we work ourselves too hard, and I should not be the one to say that. But I do that a lot too. A lot of us have issues with work, whether it's because the work is too hard or the schedules are messed up or I don't know how I'm going to work out this work schedule. I work nights. I work all day. I work several extra hours per day because they don't have enough employees and they're going to do something to you if you don't continue to do your job. The economy, which kind of ties back to work. We are unsure of how the economy is going to go, although some people are just going to continue to go down, but we don't know how that is going to immediately affect you and your life. Family responsibilities, which can tie back to the previous ones, or money, or work, but just being able to make commitments to your family. Maybe you're working too hard. Maybe you only work days, and you work nights, and you're not able to see your family. Or maybe sometimes you are just unable to give the attention to each and every one individual in your family, and you worry that that's going to affect your relationships. And speaking of relationships, you have personal relationships. That can include your friends and your family or your loved ones or your significant others. Sometimes we stress about, oh my goodness, I don't know how we're going to do this. I'm always away or I'm always at home and you're always at work. How is it going to work out? Sometimes you worry about divorce. Divorce is one of the big reasons that there is stress in America. There are so many different things that can go into personal relationships. Maybe just having friends and friends who you're trying to be friends with, but they just continue to give you this annoying talk about how their life is going down, although it's very insignificant. Like, oh my goodness, I just lost this video game and I don't know what to do about it. And then it's just going to make you feel bad for the rest of the day. I have encounters with that. I'm probably one of the aggressors of that, but we're not going to talk about that. Health. We have health is one of the big important ones out there. Some people have been encountered with different diseases or health conditions. Sometimes you need to take care of their family who have health issues. And you're wondering, how am I supposed to help my family? Because this is not going to get any better. It's just only going to get worse in certain scenarios. Or we can make it better. But guess what it costs? All of that money, which goes back to the previous ones. Danger and immediate fear. If there is an immediate danger to you or your family, you're going to stress about that. Or you have the fear about an upcoming event, as you mentioned before. Like, oh my goodness, I am taking several graduate level classes, which I do not recommend you do if you're an undergraduate and you can already not handle work and college at the same time. Don't do it. Any immediate danger to you or fears of upcoming things are going to cause you stress. Stress, it's going to happen, whether it's going to be with those top reasons or even with the small reasons. Immediate dangers to you cause stress. Why should we be concerned about stress? Stress is fairly normal, but is having a lot of stress a good thing? Okay, at least we're all in consensus with that. Having a lot of stress is most definitely not a good thing. So what can we do about it? I'll take responses from the congregation. What can we do about dealing with your own stress? Prayer. Trust. Although we're saying praying and trust. Who are we praying and who are we trusting? To God. Good old happy verse, Philippians 4:13. Who wants to read it for me? Okay, I think we have a lot of volunteers, so let's read it all together. Philippians 4:13, all together now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, as I said in my previous sermons, all your problems, Brother Darrell knows really well, belong to who? To God. When you're taking that exam, it's not just your exam. It's like, God, you're going to help me with this because we're going to get through this together. Anything is not impossible, or that makes it really confusing. Everything is possible through God. Whether or not he'll actually do certain things with you is a totally different story, but any immediate concerns or struggles that you may encounter right now in your life, he can take care of that. Amen? Another verse, or another block of verses, Philippians chapter 4, same chapter, verses 6 and 7. Who wants to read it for me?
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which
Amen. So, let your requests be known to God. You know, there are people around you that know that you're struggling. And there are people who want to help you in your life. But if you don't say anything, you're not giving them the openings to do something in your life to help you out. And that's the same with God. If you close out God from helping you out in your life, you're going to reach a point where God is trying to pull at you. Chan, do something. I'm here. Why won't you be able to let me help you in your life? That sometimes will prevent you from getting any better. If you continue to go down that downward spiral, down in your life, feeling that all-time low, if you don't allow anyone to help you, it's just going to get worse. And as we said previously, what did we say about your problems? What did I say back in August? All your problems belong to God. When it says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We may have our own plans. We may have our own agenda. However, if we don't rely on God, our plans are just going to be our plans, and it's not going to be his desires. So I'm going to give you all a quick rundown. So quick disclaimer. This is my testimony, as you've heard back in January. All my problems are problems that I have already worked with and said that, Lord, I'm going to do something about it. I am not condemning anyone. And also, this is going to be an opportunity for me to just let everything out. Because what's one of the best ways to take care of your issues? Let someone know. It's story time, guys. So, back in August, we had that sermon called Anxious Mind. And I think life was going pretty well at that time because it's the summer. I just finished my summer class. I didn't pass. But still, I felt pretty good because I know that God was with me at that time. And I made a proclamation to all of you that God is with you. Therefore, there is nothing to worry about because all of our problems, are also his. He is concerned with each and every one of us. So when we have a problem, then he has a problem. So if someone has a problem with you, then someone has a problem with God as well. So back in August, I would imagine that as I spoke that sermon early in August, that Satan took that as a challenge. The devil took it as a challenge saying, okay, so you think that everything is all easy peasy and you're going to just get through life and it's going to be great. No, it's not. So, let's go through stuff in August. I'd imagine that's the challenge that I made unintentionally. So, I would say that I have several parts in my life. I have a personal life, an academic life, a financial life, because I think that's big enough to justify it having its own section. Working with work, so working at the Divine Center, whether job is happens to be at the time. And I have my spiritual walk. September rolls around, and I'll have you know that I have done previous 19 credit semesters. This is the first one I've actually decided to go through with and not drop any of the courses. So this I would consider my first 19 credit semester. That's last September, last fall. Financial struggles hit because this is actually the first year that James goes to college, and now both of us are going to college at the same time. And we can't get any loans, therefore we're always paying the bills every month along with everything else, including rent. I know my mom doesn't like speaking about this message, so just close your ears or something. But we have financial struggles. In addition to that, I have my own financial things. I pay my own phone bill, and also I have other bills to pay. So we have that. Plus, if you remember back in August, I'm taking Calculus 2 again. So, yay for that. Hooray, my math lab. Also, on-campus jobs. This is the first semester I'm actually running two jobs at the same time, along with my 19-credit semester, and I also have some side projects I'm working on. So those are side projects I work with nonprofit organizations or organizations on our build websites or different programs, including the WinSDA Church at that time. So I consider that, I said we had our personal, academic, work, spiritual, and all those different lives. I say that, my financial life was already in jambles at the first month after that sermon. And what else did we lose that time? My spiritual life is still intact. So I think the only thing that we lost at that point is financial, because still the first beginning of that semester in particular. So everything else is still fairly intact at that time. All right, October rolls around. Financial struggles still continue to hit because now more and more of that bill, of that tuition, continues to go through. We do these monthly payment plans, so we pay every month. So we have those struggles. Continuing to take the 19 credit semester because we're not going to drop any classes because I'm going to be able to take it this time. Still calculus too, because I think that's a class in and of itself that justifies its own section once again. And also on-campus jobs, side projects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say that at that point we also had some senior projects, and my roommate can vouch that that project was not the easiest thing in the world because working with a team can sometimes be really annoying. Especially if you, I know there are several of you that have graduated from NGIT with a BS and CS degree, so you know that sometimes working in teams at school is great, and by great I mean it's not. So at that point, I would say my academic life was now in shambles. Now at this point, once again, think back to that disclaimer. Now at this point, I'm like, okay, God, I still have my personal life, I still have my family, and I still have everything to do. Work isn't too bad because one of them is peer advising, and all I do is sit in an office and wait for people to come to me. And the other one was mentoring, and that's not really a problem yet. We'll get to that point. And we still have our spiritual life sort of intact. Now we're going to November. Financial struggles continue to hit. We have our 19 credit semester, calculus 2, because once again it just has its own section, and so on and so forth. However, at this point, I'm kind of deranged. I'm already crazy because you guys already know that I'm crazy. And that was the point that I hit a stumbling block, because that's when I heard that I didn't get the communications position that I wanted, because let's actually face it, at that point I've had such a fun time with that position that I didn't really want to be an elder at that time. But we're going to get back to that, so don't worry about that yet. We had that point, and I'm like, great, awesome, God. We're going to continue to go through this, right? Because something's going to happen. At that point, I'm left with sort of a personal life left. Work now gets more complicated because they're trying to do this experiment with students, and now, long story short, I have a lot of paperwork to do every week now for work, so I sort of have a personal life left. Now, we're going into December. Financial struggles still rolling around, still continuing on the 19 credit semester. That senior project's not getting any easier. We have calculus 2, which still justifies its own reason because I don't think I was going to pass at that time. And also, mind you, that for calculus 2, that's the last time I can take it. If I do not pass it at that point, I cannot continue with my degree. So you can only take it 4 times. That was the 4th time. 4th time's apparently a charmer. We have our on-campus jobs. Now we do paperwork every day. Or not every day, every other day. And it's gotten really annoying. We got my side project still working for nonprofits or working for small businesses here in the Wayne area. And then we have that communications. Now it's solid that I don't have that position. Mind you that I was offered an assistant position. However, I'm deranged, it messes with your brain, so I didn't take that. And also, December, in order to cope with everything, why I did this, I registered a business, because why not? At that point, mind you, the business is doing well, so don't worry too much about that. So, December, I'm in shambles. I'm already dealing with now depression, and I'm dealing with different scenarios. And the thing about depression, and sometimes the personalities of the people you work with who are depressed, you don't see it in them. That's sometimes annoying to deal with when someone is struggling and you don't even know it. As I mentioned before, during communion service, there are times when people came up to me and said, "How are you doing?" "I'm doing fine." "No, I'm not." Because there are times where, like, I told you in my justification that time, I have no right or reason to ruin anyone else's Sabbath. So that's that. Also in school, I feel pretty good. I just dealing it out with playing video games or just reading or doing something else, doing some programming, because I think programming is fun. Some people might argue with that. Just kind of coping with my different issues that I have, but it's not all right. I didn't feel I had any right to ruin anyone else's life, because my life's already in shambles. And mind you, when you think about these different things that are going on, your brain doesn't know what to think. And I didn't know that I should just go to God and say, God, I don't know what to do anymore, because I know this is not going my way. Everything. Let's go into January. Let's say last month, because now we're in February. Anyway. Financial struggles. Continuing. Not too different, other than now we have to continue with the next semester, and that requires a down payment, which requires the payment also at the end of the month. So that's more complicated. You'd think it'd be a little bit better. A different thing. So last time we had two on-campus jobs last semester. That allowed me to pay my bills, so it kind of alleviated some of the financial struggles. This semester, I didn't get the job I normally got for previous semesters, and the other job, for whatever reason, NJIT ran out of money to give to students. But I'm still doing that job, mind you. I'm doing a job for free right now. I don't have a job right now, despite other than my business, but that's inconsistent because it's not a regularly paid system. So without that, I don't have a job, so that's making the financial struggles a little bit worse. And I'm worrying that I don't have a job because now the bills are rolling in and I don't know what to do with those. Also, last semester, I took 19 credits. This semester, how many credits am I taking? 20. Yay! I need to graduate on time, so let's go take more. So I have that working against me, and now I have my side projects and my business working on there. And then I'm still somewhat struggling with church. But at that point, I kind of put my foot down. Let me tell you just how bad that it's gotten. Like in December, and I need to thank Brother Jimmy for this. If he didn't talk to me shortly after the news hit, I would have come to church on November 14th, and I would have never come back. That's how bad it got. And it still hurts me to continue to say that phrase, that I would not be able to. I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. It's way too much. Sometimes we hit rock bottom, and sometimes we don't know who to go on to. And then communion was rolling around in January, and that's when I said, I was telling you during communion, the Sabbath after that communion, or before that communion, I sat down in my desk and wrote a resignation letter for my elder position. That's how bad it got. And it continues to still sort of, I'm still dealing with the backlash of that and still trying to heal from those pains. But I said, I am not going to let this bother me anymore, because God is my God and he's going to deal with everything for me. Amen. And know that there are times where you're like, I had all these initiatives and I'm going to take them. But now, even though it's taken away from me, I'm going to continue to go through every one of them, because I know that God has a plan for me, and I'm going to continue to have my voice be heard. I'm going to continue to preach the message. I'm going to continue to make the church a better place. The Wayne Seventh-day Adventist Church is my home church, and I do not plan to leave it. Amen? Amen? I have so many different struggles that I've said I've dealt with. This is not working. This is great. Financial struggles. Sometimes I go and I say, okay, I have some financial struggles. I don't know how to deal with them. Things are just going to continue to get worse. But God is telling me, when have I not provided for you? When have I not provided you? When have you been without a house? When have you been without a car? When have you been without education? I have been there with you every single moment of your life. You do not have to worry about your financial struggles. I haven't gotten any loans at all, except for the federal loans. I haven't gotten any those private loans, so I still had to deal with a blunt of those tuition payments. But without having to deal with any of those private loans, we're going to continue to pursue through my degree. At the end of it all, I'm probably going to stay with less than $30,000 in debt, which is actually pretty good. Mind that there's some people who are going to continue to pay like $40,000 a year, and then in the end, that's 4 times 4, I can't do math in my head right now, like $160,000 in debt. I'm not dealing with that. And I plan to address that as quickly as possible. Also, my coursework. Brother Darrell, once again, whose problems are our problems? Lord's. So when we deal with our coursework, that exam that you're taking, you're going to sit down on that exam and you're like, God, give me the wisdom. I've done my part. Once again, if you do rely on God, you need to do your part as well. If you're going to study, if you're going to do anything, remember you have to do your part too. And he will do the rest. Because honestly, when I took that last final exam for Calculus 2, I was like, I did not pass that exam. And then I was ecstatic when I got a C in that class, which is, okay, it's not the greatest grade in the world, but hey, it's passing. C's get degrees, amen? Side projects and my business. I must say that the Lord gives blessings to everyone in different ways. And I think I have like the world's best friends because my friends have been with me through everything. Matt, you're included in that too. All my friends who have dealt with me through this business or these side projects, who've been helping me through every one of my struggles. I don't think I've had a struggle. I don't even know why it's on this list. This shouldn't be on this list. Because maybe it's just one of those encounters that I have in my life, but I think that it's truly been a blessing in a way. And I know that with people, with them working with me on projects on the church, or whether they're going to be recording this message and sending it out to everyone else, I think it's going to be a blessing to them as well. Church, I know that I have an internal struggle. Just because this was the last thing on that list, it has been a thing. And I know that when I didn't hear I got that position, the communications leader position, I was like, I did something wrong. And I beat myself for it day and night for it. There were times, it was like the middle of October when that first hit, I was like, I did something wrong, and I don't know what it is. I want to fix it, but I can't. No one's talking to me. I was trying to get different responses from all the people in the nominating committee. What happened there? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why did this happen? That became a struggle. I'm talking to different people, conflicting responses. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I felt that my performance wasn't that great. I did something wrong, or I was just irrelevant. Because after I'm this, I'm just like, I don't come up here anymore. All I do is come up here once every 5 months or so, or then I speak every once a quarter. I'll just be irrelevant at the end of all of this. But I'll have you know, once I said, until people started talking to me, they're, Jim, I thank you once again, because I would not be here without you. That there are things he has his plans. That's in that previous verse, that we may have our plans, but he has his own agenda for each and every one of us. I know, Eric, you're going to do a great job at this position. And I know that we're going to continue to be better as a church. We're going to continue to pursue and do the mission. We know that we need a bigger church, amen? And that's a good thing. Except for the bank account later. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Why is this on here twice? All right, my struggles. You've noticed that list was getting smaller and smaller. What struggles do I have now? Should I have any struggles?
No.
Really, those struggles or that amount of stress just really be short term. It's like, oh, that's a bad situation, but we're going to deal with it. Amen? What else can we do about stress? And I'm saying this now as what can we do? That's a collective pronoun. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We have someone up there that cares about us. But also, don't forget, you're also not alone down here. Look to the left, look to the right of you. There's someone here in this family that's willing to comfort you. If you're a visitor, get someone's phone number down really quickly. If someone is struggling, give them a call. If you haven't heard from them in a while, send them an email or something. Visit them. You don't know what's going on in everyone's life until you talk to them for a little bit. You're never going to know. That person right next to you could be struggling with something, and you may never even know it until it's too late. Edify each other. Comfort with each other. It's important as we continue to be a family. If we go up there, or we continue to think about going up there with him, and when he comes back and takes us all home, and we're living as a family, and you still don't know the person to the left of you's name, then oh, you're going to have some problems. Remember the family you have around here. They're your family too. Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Countenance in Hebrew, or the term that was previous there, can translate to someone's face, which also continues to be someone's feelings. You can sharpen the feelings of someone else. You can continue to help someone if you continue to talk with them. Let's build each other up. Because what is the point of coming to church and having potluck every first Sabbath or just sitting with each other if we're not willing to work with each other through even the personal things? We don't come to church just because we're Adventist one day of the week. We come to church because we're Christian or we're here. We're trying to learn about God every day of the week. Amen? Amen. Let's build each other up. But also, more importantly, when you think about your different struggles, there is someone who is up there. He's calling out to you. Let me pick you up. Because you're down in the ground. You're down in that hole. Or you're down in quicksand. You think you can't get out. You think you're just going lower and lower. Let me pick you up. Why are you not letting me help you in your life? You have been preaching my message. And you are continuing to go down in that hole that you are saying that you are unable to get out of. Why are you not helping me? Let me pick you up. There is nothing worse than not listening to God when he's calling out to you. He's right in your face and you are not listening to him. Why won't you let him work in your life? Let me pick you up. Overcoming. Who can overcome the world? It says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It's going to be a long verse, so I hope you all are still awake. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him, and who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? There is someone bigger than the world. Why should we be scared of the world if we can think about him? I have an appeal for you all. How many of you are struggling with something? How many of you encounter stress in your life? If that's your case, I invite you to come forward. If you don't want to, you can stay in your seats. If you want to let everyone know that I have a problem and I want to fix it, I invite you to come forward. Look all around you. There are people that encounter struggles every day or have been encountering with struggles from one day to the next day to the next day. This is going to get really corny, but everyone here has encountered the same struggles. We're all in the same family. I'm going to make a prayer, and I want you to hug the person next to you, or maybe we'll just have a big hug, but I don't know if that's going to work in this church. We need a bigger church, so hopefully we're working on that. I want you to, as I said the prayer, pray with someone. Hug, put your arm around, or just do something, or acknowledge that you're with someone and that they're not alone. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the opportunity you've given me here at the Wayne SDA Church. Lord, I've been through a lot. Some people who have been through more. Some people are going to encounter that in their lives and they don't know what to do. Lord, remind us that you are calling us. And remind us that there are people around us that love each other and that they will be able to pick you up. I know that I have a giant family here at the Wayne SDA Church, and I know that they always have my back. Lord, continue to work in each person's life as we continue to live life towards eternity. Continue to work through each and every one of our lives and remind us that you are always watching us. The struggles that we encounter here in this life are nothing when we remember that you are bigger than the world. Continue to do this for us, Lord. Thank you once again for everything you've given us. Continue to be with us throughout the rest of the Sabbath. In your wonderful name that we pray, trusting, believing that you will answer it according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
You may return to your seats. We have our closing hymn, which is found on page 507.